The recordings are on.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the monthly NCSG policy call on 18th September 2017. On the call today, we have Abdul Sabur Malik, Ivory Doria, Aiden Federling, Kathy Kleiman, Krishna Sibon, Rafik Damak, Raul Ploma, Nick Shori, Tafania Milan, Tapani Taravainen, Tatiana Tropina, Zakir, and on the phone bridge we have Asine Changali and Akin Remy Peter Taiwo. From staff, you have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rafik.
Thank you very much, Mariam, and thanks for everyone for attending today's call. I see several new members joining us for this call, so I want to welcome them. Today is that we have our regular policy call, usually for the General Soil Council call, which is held on a monthly basis. We usually organize it on Tuesday, but this time it's on Monday since due to holidays, the council call was scheduled on Wednesday instead of Thursday. So what usually we try to do is to go through the council agenda, because there are several motions to be voted. And this is an opportunity for the council representing NCAG and the members to discuss this motion and also other items for discussion there and to see what kind of action we should take. And then we go to other policy items like the public comments and so on and to see, to get kind of, let's say, an update in addition to a briefing from working groups. So, not waiting more here, so we should start with the first agenda item, which is the General Council call. Mariam, can you please share the agenda and the other people? Okay. So, the first items are kind of administrative one, which is a review of the project list and any action items on previous calls, so we can move from that. There is nothing in the consent agenda two. So the first important agenda discussion item here is about the review of all rights protection mechanism in all GTAD data requests. And this is coming from the working group covering the rights protection mechanism. And it's using for the first time the request to get data. And we receive it, I mean, the council that request in addition to the summary from the working group to explain the reason behind such request. We will take advantage that Kathy Simon is here on the call. She is the co-chair of that working group, and probably she can give a better explanation than me about this request and why it matters, and if she can give us some guidance on how we should vote about it.
Hi, Rafik. This is Kathy. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. So let me give a quick background, and then I'm happy to answer some questions about this. Quick note that there are three co-chairs to the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group. Phil Corwin is, of course, on council, and Jay Scott and I have both been invited to be at the meeting on Wednesday, so we're both planning to be there. So there'll be a lot of people to answer questions if there are more. Okay, this is a data request that looks fairly long, but it's because we really need some data. In the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group, we're on phase one, and we're looking at the new GTLD mechanisms right now, and specifically we're looking at the sunrise period and the trademark claims. And really, there's not a lot of information about that. So a good part of the data request is that we go out and we ask people about how the sunrise period went and how trademark claims went. So a lot of this is what we call anecdotal. But we're just looking for some funding to help phrase the questions right. We've been criticized in the past for having, you know, phrasing that seemed to weight the question in one way or another. There are people who specialize in more neutral questions. And so we're looking for some funding on that. And this is really to go out and ask the registries how the process went and the registrars and the registrants and the trademark owners. We're going to be collecting information about whether reserve names, can we find out information, did reserve names hurt the process? Did private mechanisms hurt the process? You know, did Sunrise work? Did trademark claims work? Trademark claims is of particular interest to us in non-commercial because a huge number of people are turning back when they hit a trademark claims notice. So one of the questions we're asking is, was the trademark claims notice translated into the language of your registration agreement? This was a basic commitment that, frankly, I fought for very hard originally. And we don't even know the answer to this. And it's a basic question. It's not a hard question. It's not going to take us years to find, but somebody has to ask it and somebody has to go out and collect it. We're also kind of culling through the URS, the Uniform Rapid Suspension. So it's not all anecdotal. We're doing some research, although ICANN staff is going to do most of the research. We're doing some research on Uniform Rapid Suspension. There's a big push by some in the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group to see whether, you know, to see if we can put in all sorts of variations what they call fat finger typos and all sorts of variations of protections, of expanding the protection. Right now it's an exact match. And one way that we'd have some indication about whether that was important or not important was whether there were a lot of URS cases in Sunrise or right after Sunrise that involved typos involving something in the trademark clearinghouse. So just seeking data, we hope that data gathering will be added in the next version, in the next version of the new GTLD guidebook. This is probably something for subsequent procedures, but we hope that data gathering will be incorporated. But right now, we have to go out after it. And we understand there is funding for this kind of thing. And so we've spent a lot of time the working group spent a lot of time trying to kind of narrow down the data that it wants. And then the co-chairs and Mary Wong, our staff, you know, senior staff, has spent a lot of time kind of writing up this request. Thanks much.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Kathy, for this summary. I can understand that you are supporting this request. So if I can ask here, when you use the, let's say, the adjective anecdotal here. So what do you mean exactly? Because I think we are trying to do some quantitative data collection here and to move from what kind of qualitative and which is open to a lot of interpretation and can be, it can be abused somehow. So can you maybe clarify about this?
Sir, Rafiq, let me rephrase and see if I understand the question. That data can be subject to misinterpretation once it's gathered? Is that the question?
Yes, I mean, yeah, that's always, yeah, I mean, that's okay. Always happened. I was asking about the term
anecdotal.
Oh, yeah. Anecdotal, yeah, because if you can explain a little bit more about it, because it seems to have a particular meaning maybe in your context.
Sure. Anecdotal is just, as we're using it, is actually just to have people share with us their experiences. It's not absolute research per se. It's not provable statistical research. Oh, we're having a lot of discussions in the working group about statistical research. and but it's people's experiences. And in Johannesburg, we actually began the collection of anecdotal data by inviting registries and registrars to come and share their experiences with us. And Amadeo, who you guys probably know from .cat and the ICANN board in the early days, Amadeo from Spain came in and on behalf of CORE, which runs a lot of registries and is a back end for a number of registries, talked a lot about some of the geos and some of the issues that they had with Sunrise and also with trying to reserve certain names that would represent their provinces and some of the geographic and other types of things that that they were trying to protect. And in the process, we kind of learned that they're kind of a hypothetical conflict between a trademark owner and between a natural use of a word that you might want to reserve in a geo. The example that comes up a lot for us is police. So police is a rock group, trademarked, of course protected, but you know, police is also, you know, if you've got a geo, police.moscow, police.nyc, police.paris, and police.london might be really natural to reserve for the police forces. Who gets priority? We'd like to know if anyone had issues with that. We've heard something in the wind that there were some concerns about that. It would be good to know. And so that's the kind of data we're trying to go out with. There's only one thing worse than making decisions with data, and that's difficult enough, and it's making decisions without data. And then you're only based on opinion and, you know, what people have, you know, everyone kind of sees it through their own lenses, and we're trying to make sure that everyone has the data to see it through all lenses. Thanks.
Kathy, let me see if there is anyone who wants to comment or to ask. For those on the call, if you want to ask, you can just raise your hand and to be in the queue. If you have any comment or you want clarification from Kathy?
Rafiq, this is Kathy. Maybe I can ask if anyone has any concerns about this and if we can, you know, if we could discuss it.
Okay, I don't see anyone in the queue, so I mean, I don't have a specific concern here, but just maybe because I went through the summary and the request and the annex, so just kind of from I understand, even if we the council approve, it's still up to the ICANN organization to secure the budget for hiring contractors or vendors for professionals to design the survey. So if I understand correctly, you have a kind of you are not aiming for those within the community, but really trying to go beyond. So does the group has the group ready an idea how to do that, or you are just going to count on the vendor who will design the survey in a professional manner? So
That's a good question. Let me just make sure I'm off mute. Yep, that's a good question. Yeah, we'll certainly take their opinions, but we've been talking about that and how we can reach out beyond. You know, first it's getting answers back. Frankly, you know, in other working groups, I understand they're seeing the same thing, that there's kind of a tiredness about the process, about answering requests for, you know, information from working groups and from other groups. And so part of it is just kind of putting all the questions in one place and sending them out. And we do need them from the community as well as outside the community. So, you know, we're trying to get, you know, almost all the questions that we have for the registries and the registrars in one place, phrased well so that they can, you know, concentrate on the answers once and get them back to us and kind of cover a lot of ground rather than being hit by four or five requests on different topics. In terms of reaching out to the community, you know, chances are it may come back to you guys and see how we better reach the, you know, a wider non-commercial community. Chances are stuff is going to go through the International Trademark Association for trademark owners. They'll use that for one of their distribution methods. So we've been talking about it. I'd certainly, you know, be happy to add anything that you'd want us to reach out to. I just don't think it's going to take that long for a survey designer to do the survey, but we're thinking of kind of distributing it through traditional ICANN mechanisms, both the ones that reach out to the community, the ICANN community, and those that reach out more broadly to the Internet community. But suggestions welcome.
Thank you, Kathy. Still trying to elicit any comment or question in the call, but I can assume that there is an agreement and support for this request. I mean, I don't see any problem on the for data, and I encourage everyone to read the short summary I just shared a few minutes ago in the Adobe Connect chat. So I guess we should vote yes. And then Wednesday for this motion. Okay. So just checking if there is any comment before moving to the next agenda item. Okay. I don't see any. So let's move to the item number 5, which is a vote in the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names. So here we are going to vote on some of the recommendation from that working group. So we have to adopt recommendation number 1, 2, and 4. So let me, yeah. I think if we can, Mariam, can we share the motion? Because it's, I think it's quite long and there are some details in the recommendation. So we had a discussion in the council about this working group for, I think, the last 2 or 3 calls, and now it's time to make a decision on how to move on with the recommendation from the working group. And it's in the relation also, I think, with the discussion about geonames at the subsequent procedure working group with working strike number 5. So is it possible to share that motion in Adobe Connect? More easy so people can...
Yes. Yes, Rafiq, I'm going to share it in a minute.
Can you give me the sort of scroll, because I think it's at the end of this page. Okay.
I think you have scroll control. Thank you.
Okay. So as you can tell, I'm trying here to put in the middle or to highlight which is the most important part of the motion, which is in relation to approving the 4, 3 of the recommendation. So the first one is to close this cross-committee working group in accordance with and as foreseen in the charter. We recommend that the ICANN community consolidate all policy efforts relating to geographic names, as the term has traditionally very broadly been defined in the ICANN environment to respond, to enable in-depth analysis and discussion on all aspects related to all geographic-related names. This is the only way, in our view, to determine whether a harmonized framework is truly achievable, and recommend that future policy development pass facilitate an all-inclusive dialogue to ensure that all members of the community have the opportunity to participate. Again, we believe this is the only way to determine whether a harmonized framework is truly achievable. And I think those in particular recommendation number 2 and 4 are related to discussion we have in geonames and trying to have that cross-community discussion and the umbrella of the subsequent procedure working group. And so you can also see in item number 5, supporting alternative A, future work should take place with the authority for policy development process and ICANN bylaws with a clearly drafted charter or scope of work that set out how conclusion and recommendation will inform that policy development process, that this addresses a key deficiency of this CWG, as it has not made clear how the group work can or will be incorporated in the policy making pursuant to ICANN bylaws. Okay. So, and also you can see in the result, as you can see that we are going to adopt the recommendation number 1, 2, and also adopt the objectives of recommendation number 3, and also that to instruct the leadership of the subsequent procedure working group to consider the final report of the cross-community working group from framework for the use of country and territory names. So we are making here the link between that work and the discussion now we have about units. So I try to kind of go quickly with the motion and to explain why what it's about, but I'm also keen here to hear from other councillor thoughts on this motion. Since she's still now the co-chair of the subsequent procedure working group, and what are the her about this? Okay, any comments, any question? I just don't want to put anyone on thought about this. Oh, yes.
Yeah, this is Aubrey, and I apologize that I'm getting off the meeting in about 5 minutes because I've got another meeting I have to go to, but on this basically matches the expectations within the new subsequent procedures group. It's part of the reason that we're putting together this work team 5, where we're still trying to get it started. And I know this isn't being asked for now, but just in case anybody's curious, we're still getting started. We still don't have the GNSO representative for the chair, nor several of the others. So we're in a very slow start, but that's the reason for that group. So going with this and, you know, basically, which is thank you, we'll take the input and we'll work on it in the PDP, subsequent procedures PDP, it all matches my understandings. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. And so it seems okay from the subsequent procedure working group side. I mean, just you are asked to take this as an input. I see that Nick is in the queue. So please go ahead.
Hi, Rafiq. It's Nick here. Can you hear me okay?
Can you speak?
Yeah, hi, Rafiq. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, right. Great. Thank you. Yeah, sorry. I've been having a few problems with my microphone and audio. And I may have missed a couple of points that either yourself or Avery made. Just going back to the piece on use of country names and that. In terms of the recommendation that we close this all down and move forward with a sort of a consolidated piece, is the recommendation for a cross-community working group? Or is the recommendation for a GNSO-led PDP? My personal view is that this has got to be a cross-community piece of work in order to resolve this. I think as soon as we try and keep everything bundled up in a GNSO PDP, we're going to get sort of isolated areas and problems further down the track with between GAC and GNSO and all that kind of thing. So has that been determined? Welcome your guidance.
Thank you, Nick, for this question. I think my understanding from the motion, in particular, the expectation that the work would be done within a GNSO PDP framework here. And so that's why it's to direct to the subsequent procedure working group and so on. So that's my understanding. And as you may know, we had also that discussion in Johannesburg within the subsequent procedure working group about having the GNMs this discussion within a separate work track, number five, with the kind of cross-community setting, but not necessarily cross-community working group. So I know that maybe that's not what the GAC and maybe other parts want, but I see that Avery would like to jump in here. Maybe she wants to clarify. Yes, Avery, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Avery again. Sorry for putting my hand up again, but just before I leave, that whole conflict, and that may come up within the council meeting of, you know, whenever they talk about subsequent procedures is, are they GOM a cross-community working group? And the answer to that is no. Now, I have, as of yet, unproven hypothesis, because I haven't done the work, that most of the things that the other parts of the community are asking for, the ALAC and the GAC and specifically already the CCNSO, while we can't use the cross-community working group of getting formal approval of the other SO, because of the mechanisms in the working group guidelines and in the PDP guidelines in terms of putting out comment requests to the other ACs and SOs and needing to basically sit and talk about any differences that they have in those when they return answers. And the fact that people are participating in all the various, you know, full meetings, et cetera, that we can essentially map most of the functions and behaviors of a cross-community working group into the tools provided in the GNSO guidelines. As I say, I haven't done the specific work, and the first part of this process will be sitting down with the four, you know, co-chairs, either, you know, I mean, it'll be Jeff and his co-chair, depending on what it happens. It'll be me or whoever's picked to take my role, and basically work out that mapping with them. And since I'm the one with the idea of a mapping in hand, I'll certainly be around to help do that. So it will not be a cross-community working subgroup, but it will be a proper PDP subgroup, but it will contain many of those elements, I believe. Thanks. And sorry I got to leave. I could only do the half hour.
Hey, thank you, Emily, for the explanation. And I just shared also the CCNSO letter to the GNSO, and also they highlight about having kind of, it's not cross-community working group, but have like the ability, I think, about ocean and so on in terms of the work from that in that working track number five. Yes, Kathy, please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Kathy, and I just wanted to point out something Avery's actually said many times, which is that we need people from non-commercial in subsequent procedures, especially if we create another subgroup in subsequent procedures, but across all the subgroups, there's a lot of registries, there's a lot of registrars, there's a lot of trademark owners, but there's not a lot of non-commercial. In some cases, I'm not seeing any other non-commercial. I occasionally go in because rights protection mechanism actually, you know, works closely with subsequent procedures. So I kind of go in from time to time. But there's a lot of room for our views and people representing our views. And if someone wants to go in and wants support from you know a group of us, we could do that too. But especially if we're going to create another part of subsequent procedures, I just wanted to flag that we need some more non-commercial voices. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy, for the comment. Indeed, we need to have more participation in the different working groups. We have really heavy policy development process going on, and we need more participation to follow what's going on and to influence the process. Okay, so with the regard of this motion, so personally, I don't see any problem with voting yes on this. The working group tried to do its best, and they delivered those recommendations, so I think we can accept them. And anyway, I think the discussion moved on already to the subsequent procedure working group on the matter, and what's the best setting to have a cross-community discussion on the matter. And I see that Nick shared some concerns in the chat. I think we have to continue that discussion anyway and see how we can find an acceptable solution for everyone. I mean, I can observe that, for example, the CCNSO appointed someone as a co-leader for working track number five, while the GNSO itself didn't do that yet. And I'm not aware what's the kind of conclusion they lack for now. So it's still kind of something still going on, and we'll see how it will evolve in coming days. Okay, I would like to ask other counselor about their thoughts and thoughts on this motion. Okay. I don't see any. Okay, so maybe we can move to the next agenda item. Adam, can you please go back to the GNSO agenda? Okay, thank you. So the next agenda item, which is about vote on the GNSO members for the ICANN Accountability and Transparency Review Team Number 3. The Standing Selection Committee, the SSC, did a selection, as the name says, of the possible representative from the GNSO to the ATRT 3. And yeah, I think it's it would be nice to maybe to also to share the motion here again. So, being myself the representative of NCNG to that standing committee, one problem was that we had kind of a small pool of candidates to do selection from. So we get like three seats that they will guarantee to be selected. And also we had ranking of seven representatives. So each SO and AC is insured or guaranteed to have at least three representatives in the review teams. And each SO or AC, it can go up to seven representatives. But then from number four to number seven, that's kind of a result of a discussion and negotiation between the SO and AC leaders. So, Mariam, can you please share again the motion? So, since there is the list of representatives there. Okay. Okay, so so we are, the Genesis was nominating in ranking in the order, Brian Cute from the Registry Stakeholder Group, Wolfgang Kleinwächter from NCAG, and Stefan Van Gelder from the Registry Stakeholder Group as the primary three candidates for ATRT3. And then ranked, we have Tatiana Tropina, Michael Karnikolas, Aditola Sogbizan, and Erika Verlis. So those are the names that will be sent to the SO and AC chairs. And I already see Hayden in the queue. Yes, Hayden, please go ahead.
Hi, Rafiq. Thank you very much for that. This is Hayden Ferdelin. I presume you can hear me at the moment. Can you hear me? I'm going to...
Fine, yes,
okay, great.
Can.
I see in the chat that I... Perfect, thanks. I just wanted to pick up on something that you just said, Rafiq. You said there was a very small pool of candidates. So I was wondering, was it considered the possibility of re-advertising the call for candidates? Because from what I understand, there were nine applications for potentially seven seats. And there did appear to be a lack of gender balance in those who applied. So I was wondering if the consideration was made that, okay, perhaps we simply did not advertise this sufficiently in the first place. Maybe we need to bring this for 2 weeks to get some more candidates in. And the second question that I had was to do with the ranking itself. I was wondering when the SSC, and forgive my ignorance here because I'm not entirely familiar with how the SSC goes about their process of ranking candidates, but I was wondering, from what I understand, however, you complete an online survey that is not anonymous. I was wondering if there's a discrepancy between the ranking that our three representatives on the SSC provided in the poll and the ranking that other stakeholder groups provided. It's just wondering how they mesh together. Thanks very much.
For the call, I think it was extended already before, maybe once or twice, I'm not sure, but at least it was extended before. And so the call is for all, let's say, candidates from the different SO and AC, and then after those who are asking for GNSO endorsement, they go to the GNSO. So it was extended before, so the issue is, I'm not sure, would be fixed by just extending endlessly the call. Maybe that's symptoms of another issue. With the regard to the polling, I'm not sure that it's not anonymous, so I don't recall seeing other member selection. I was not in the call, unfortunately, because it was like in human, I'd say, not human time for me. It was in the middle of the night. So, but I did the polling and also checked the notes and the minutes of the call. Basically, the ranking is just translating what was it was done in the polling. So I cannot speak for other representative from NCAG to SSC in that regard. So what are their thoughts? So we had a discussion about the result. We expressed some concern about that. I mean, it's, there is an issue of diversity and how we could maybe do better to get more NCAG representative. But however, I would like to highlight that we have already one representative from NCAG that is guaranteed to be selected. And I see also that we have the number 4 and 5 from NCAG. So probably, yes, we always can do better. But how, that's always really the question that it's hard to answer. I see that we have Tatiana and Kathy in the queue, but I'm not sure, Aiden. It is an old or new hand. Yes, Tatiana, please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Tatiana Trapini speaking for the record. I would like to add to something Rafiq said as an answer to Aiden's question about the call. As far as I understand, also someone who actually applied for this to be a member of this review team, the call was issued in January, but I think I applied in late May or even June during the extension. And I believe that there were really kind of people were trying to mobilize the community to apply. I saw several emails, for example, coming through the accountability working group list, CCWG accountability. I saw emails on the other lists, and I believe that the call was extended exactly for this reason, that there was no diversity, there was not enough volunteers. But I also think that with all the working groups, especially with accountability working group, there might be a general question of how to say volunteer burnout. And in my opinion, ICANN and ACNSO did everything to really try to encourage people to apply. I personally applied not only because I was interested in this particular review team, but also because I saw that we didn't have enough diversity of the candidates, and we didn't have, like, kind of, I see that there are enough qualified candidates from NCSG, and Wolfgang is in the list of recommended candidates who will get the place guaranteed. But I also thought that there might be a lack of gender diversity and we need more qualified candidates. But otherwise, I do think that the calls were just flooding everywhere, and I don't think there was really a lack of effort to recruit people, except that maybe we didn't run around and beg them to apply. Thanks.
Thank you, Tatiana. You are giving a candidate perspective, and it's interesting that you mentioned that the first call was in January, and see how long it took, and still we didn't get enough candidates. Yes, Kathy, please go ahead.
Great. This is Kathy, and I was wondering, I don't quite understand how we get to a final decision on the picks and on the final picks. We've only, you know, review teams have certainly been more than 7 to 9. We've got great candidates with Wolfgang, Tatiana, and Michael Karankolas, and that covers a lot of non-commercial issues. Like, Michael's with the Center for Law and Democracy in Canada, and so he works on, you know, transparency and free expression and things like that. And Tatiana and her background and Wolfgang, all different areas of expertise. So could somebody tell me why everyone didn't get on, because it seems like we've got qualified candidates and we've got the slots for qualified candidates, why we're only three picked, and who? How does the next round go? How do we fill out the rest of the panel? And is it those three picking their friends? I don't get it. Why aren't all these people on the review team and letting it go forward? I'm confused. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Maybe first thing we need to clarify that the process of selection is different from previous review team. Those are coming after the, you know, the work done and accountability and so on. And now the selection is up to the AC leader. So each SO and AC is a guarantee to have at least three, I mean, it's a guarantee to have the three representatives. So those, the first three are, let's say, ensure the guarantee to be in the review team. But each SO and SEs can have up to seven. But for, from the number, let's say, four to seven, that's kind of, it will be a result of negotiation and discussion between the SO and AC leaders to have, to see if there are some maybe, missing, skills or expertise and so on. So this is kind of, that's, for example, what happened in the HUI's review team, the last one, that we sent the three names, but there was, we thought that we should have a representative from the registrar, and so we proposed the fourth representative to be from the registrar and asked the Genesis chair to push for that, and we could get that. But it's not clear that we can have that every time. Another maybe thing to have in mind about the selection, the process as it was drafted and approved by the council, we had kind of provision that to ensure if, for example, a stakeholder group couldn't get to a review team, it will be ensured to get in a representative in the next rounds for other review teams. So, yes, it's hard here. I mean, I'm not sure I can really discuss the merits of the candidates, but it's somehow at least for the five, the first five, it's a hard choice. For example, Brian Cute, he was a chair of, the previous review team, and I mean, the ITRT. So it's kind of obvious choice here. And then we have also Wolfgang as a representative, I mean, as a former board member and so on, and also someone from our stakeholder group, that's clear choice. Stefan van Gelder as, I think he was a GNSO, he was a former GNSO chair, also a former NOMCOM chair. So this kind of, they have experience. So, this is kind of candidate. But the thing is, maybe we can ask, and this is kind of the after discussion maybe in the council, if we can push our leadership, the GNSO leadership, to push and to get more representative from the GNSO. I think the expertise they can bring in terms of transparency and so on. So we can try to do that. So okay, is there any question or comment here? Okay, I don't see any. So you don't see other SSC representative in the call, so it's really hard to to carry all their thoughts here. But at least in the council, we can raise this issue again and see if what can be done. So, but, we'll see what can be done. And so let's move to the next agenda items and back to Genesis agenda. Sorry, madam, can you go back to the Genesis agenda? Genesis Council agenda, please. Okay, so we went through the three motion tabled for vote for the council call. Now we are moving to kind of discussion items. So the first one is about the revised digital operating procedure and ICANN bylaws. There was a public, I'll say, maybe going even back, more backward to expand the context. So after the adoption of the new ICANN bylaws, the GNSO established a drafting team to work in updating the operating procedure for the GNSO to take in consideration the rights and the responsibility of the GNSO under this the revised bylaws. And that draft team report was under was under public comment, and we submitted a comment from NCHG to support that work and the changes done in that operating procedure for GNSO. The ICANN staff collected the response and made a report, and now it's kind of asking here about what are the next steps to be taken in regard to the comment that we had. So I would like here to maybe to see if any counselor or those who work on the drafting team, if they have any thoughts on how we should proceed with regard to the proposed changes. Nobody. Okay, so I mean it's no vote here, but it's kind of discussion on how we should proceed. So let me try to find maybe the email from the from the GNSO staff, because the important is for some reason the different options are not indicated in the under the agenda items. But it would be helpful really if other councillor has spoken on this issue, if they have any thought or any suggestion on this this matter. clarification from the staff. Okay, so one suggestion is to adopt the revised GNS operating procedure. And just maybe making some minor update as suggested in the analysis of the comment. Or just also maybe a further consideration of the comment submitted or a consultation with the bylaws drafting team. So since if maybe we go to a consultation with the drafting team, and I see that Farzana is here and she's one of our representative to the drafting team, if she has any thought on this issue, and if she thinks that we should go back to the drafting team if needed. Regarding the host, yes, we lost Mariam. She has some issue, but no worry about that. It will be handled. So the call is still going on, so it will be fixed quickly. So any comments about the revised operating procedure? Okay, at least can you hear me? So I'm not sure now if you are hearing me or and I'm not seeing any comment or. Okay, it seems there are some problems. Yes, Kathy, please go ahead.
Hi, Rafi, this is Kathy. Let me ask people a question. Since I haven't followed this issue, is there anything for us to worry about in the revised GNSO operating procedures? Is this pretty smooth sailing, or is there something difficult here? Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. I don't there is no concern, and our comments supported the changes. And I see Farzana was probably much more knowledgeable than me about the changes since she was on the drafting team. Farzana, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. For the operating procedures, what we did was during the work of the drafting team, we tried to, and we managed to succeed to keep everything, all the decisions that should be made with regard to the entire community within the house structure. Because we think, and this will be to the best interest of NPSG, and we succeeded in that, and that's great. For the public comment, there were not many important or substantive issues that we wanted to flag, but I suggested that we support the changes, but also add that under the circumstances that these operating procedures are not I kind of like wanted to make sure that they follow the operating procedure in implementation of the suggestions of participation in empowered communities. So I came up with a language for our public comments to reinforce that the recommendations of the DT should be followed when we want to participate in the empowered community, so that if later on they want to play the card that, oh no, we don't want to be within the house structure or stuff like that, we have actually a tool to use against them. I don't know if they will accept that public comment or if they even consider it, but that's what he said. And other things were like, really, we just supported it. Thank you.
Thanks, Farzana, for the brief. And I think the only risk we may see here that I'm not sure if the CAG or just the business consistency, we'll try to open the discussion again about the role of the GNS on the empowered community and questioning its role. So maybe that's the only risk, that they try to reopen the discussion again over again, but we can probably, we should be just cautious about that and try to push that to go with the revised operating procedure and not open the discussion again. So that's, I guess, the only risk we may see, but yeah. Okay. Any comment on this or any question? Okay. So I guess we can move to the next agenda item and the last one and for the council call, which is about community GTLD change request process. And this is coming, as you may see in the background explanation, this is coming from the financial TLD group. They are asking on how to amend the specification 12 of their registry agreement. So they made a request, and it was denied by the ICANN. And so from there, they there was kind of they discussed it with the GDD and legal staff on how to handle this, and they worked on a proposal on how to work on a process for managing community GTLD change request. So we just get like a few days ago that proposal coming from that ad hoc working group. It's not an ICANN working group, just to be clear here. This is a group of registry operator and community GTA-based registry and so on. They worked on this proposal, and they will give a briefing to the GNSO Council. And also I see that, one, because they were advised by the GDD team here, and one suggestion is to use the GNSO guidance process as a way to work on this. So this is kind of new process, I think, that never have been used before. It was added, I think, a few years ago, as a way maybe to ask for guidance on policy. So, I mean, we don't have that much information about this proposal, just like a kind of short background that you can see under the agenda. And also, if we try to find the proposal itself, if you want to read. So it's more kind of, it will be an explanation for us in the council and see if there is any concern from our side to move with that. We were not involved in the process. It was done outside ICANN, and so we will see how we should kind of deal with that. So if you can bear with me, I'm trying to find that proposal. It's here. Okay, so the question here is if a community-based TLD is asking to change with regard to one, I think, the most important requirement. This is requirement 12 in their the registry agreement. And what kind of reason can lead a community TLD to change that? So this may be a question from our side, basically, at this level. So if you have any question or inquiry, so we can carry that to the council call and try to find out more about this this issue and maybe to think about how we can handle that. So the concern is maybe that some discussion or process is being done outside the usual mechanisms, and we are not involved, and just maybe we are informant at late stage. So. Thanks, Nick. So a quick answer to Arson. We are not, we are not saying oh yes to this process. It's just a discussion item, and we are going to get kind of explanation and briefing about it. So we will find more details in the council call, and from there we will see what we should think and how we should follow up on this. But there is no action for now, just trying to understand more about this process as proposed from this and from this ad hoc group. Okay. So if there is no question or comment on this, we can go back to the main agenda for our call. So, Marin, okay, thanks. And now we will try to go more on the kind of policy update, and first start with the public comment. From the ongoing one, I think we have three important that we should submit to comment. There is another one about Dot Museum. I think it's about change in the and their so there are change about the Dot Museum if there is anyone interested. But for now, so we have the statistical analysis of DNS abuse in GTLD report, and we have a draft that was made by Farrell, and while the deadline is tomorrow, but as stakeholder group, we may ask for extra few days to submit a comment. So, Farrell, can you share your a link to your Google Doc? So, and we are asking people, I mean the members of NCSG, to review and to comment that draft. And Farrell, if you want to give quick, really briefing about the study, just to explain maybe the background and why it matters to cover it. Farrell, can you speak or? Okay, so I think this study is quite critical, not just on itself, but it's because it's kind of, it will be an input for the consumer competition and a trust review team, and it's in relation to kind of topic that we had a lot of discussion within NCHA about it, which is about the whole thing about the DNS abuse and what it means within the ICANN context and remit. So, this is a study made by an external group, and so the comments made by Farah really went through the kind of, I think, the study details, but also the conclusion. So there are several kind of comments about the conclusion made on that study. So we will share that to the NCSG list and looking for the comments. So I think maybe to quick answer to Nick here, I think as soon as possible. So we are aiming to submit by Friday. So if we can, you can get that by Thursday, it will be possible then to resolve the comments and the question. So, okay, I think that we are in agreement by Thursday. Okay, any comment on this? And finally, please send email to the list with the material you prepared and the link to the Google Doc. Okay. So the next public comment. It's about the proposal dates for ICANN public meetings in 2021 and 2023. And my understanding that Aiden volunteered for this, and he already asked it for comments and suggestions. So maybe asking here him here about the status of the draft, by when he can share it with the rest of the group.
Hi, everyone. This is Aiden Fadaline. Thank you for that reminder, Rafiq. I'll send an email out to the mailing list over the coming days just to collect some additional feedback. I have heard from a few members of our constituency, sorry, a few members of our stakeholder group as to some conflicting dates that they have flagged for national holidays in their country. But if there are further comments or further conflicts that others observe, please let me know. So yes, I will send out an email to the list. And while I'm here, I suppose I should just go on to the next bullet point because I'm also the pen holder for that comment, the proposed changes to the NCUC charter. I will also send out an email to the list updating everyone on that. That is really a very short comment thanking the leadership of the NCUC, for all of the efforts coordinating this process and reviewing the charter. Thanks.
So it's kind of reminder, and please share as soon as possible. And just if I want to respond to Nick here, unfortunately, it's just selecting. I mean, it's about the date. Unfortunately, it's not about the place. But maybe that also should be a matter for the community input. We select better and more warmer place. The other only public comment, and that's we need someone maybe if you want to or she want to take the lead and draft something, which is about the Dot Museum renewal. We previously we made some comments on those renewal when we, for example, we find out that there was kind of a push from the staff to add a new requirement to legacy TLD, like using QRS and so on. But so I didn't go through that. So if anyone is interested to review and to draft something, please do so and let me know. Hey. Yeah, that's for the public comments. Moving to update from working groups. So is there anything important from the different working group and those participating there that they want to share with us, or they want to kind of flag something that we should care about in the coming weeks? Is there, for example, a call for input or something on that matter? But it's not just about working groups, but can be also about from the review teams, like the WHOIS review teams and so on. So if anyone has, anyone who is participating in working group wants to share something, that it's a good time to do so. Yeah, yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Stephanie Perrin, for the record, I apologize for missing the earlier part of the call, so perhaps you've already discussed this, but the last-minute call for a representative to go to a GDPR meeting in Brussels, did you discuss that? No?
Stephanie, we didn't touch that. Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? Yes. We didn't discuss that, and I think it's scheduled for any other business, and we still didn't reach that yet. Maybe we will do in a few minutes, but.
I'll leave that aside and just say that, in my opinion, there's a bit of a meltdown happening with respect to the who is groups. In other words, everybody that's touching some aspect of what's going on in who is. I think that the privacy proxy implementation review team, which I haven't been able to follow closely enough, the registrars were following it, of course. So they are reaching an impasse over a few issues that they don't think are following the policy. That was predictable, if you recall. We had a little bit of a meltdown when there was a kind of a compromise made that any policy issues the GAC weren't happy with would be resolved in the implementation review team. And quite frankly, I should have been following this more closely, but there's so much who is going on. There's just so many hours in the day. So I think we need to get a close look at that and find out what's going on, which I think we can get from the registrars. Secondly, the who is the RDS, we haven't got the legal opinion that has been circling the drains since August released yet. This is extremely important in the face of the upcoming GDPR and a threatened showdown between the registrars and the and ICANN as a body. I don't really care how soon ICANN gets itself compliant, because we've been nagging them for, in my case, 4 years, in many other cases, more like 15, to get a privacy policy. But with respect to the who is, if the registrars have to just alter all of their who is settings themselves, then much of the work we're doing on both the review team, which I'm on, and the RDS that we've been painfully slogging through every week is irrelevant. So if David is on the call and he can push these guys to get that stupid opinion out, then maybe we can have a more enlightened discussion. So I'm just sort of flagging that. Now we get a last-minute request for a representative to a GDPR meeting, presumably because somebody has read the legal opinion. And that's really important, but it also sort of messes up all the other activities. So that's what I wanted to say, and if anybody knows anything, the meeting that they are planning to hold in Brussels, they don't have a date for yet. And I had just very reluctantly declined to go to Brussels for the Who Is Review Team meeting, because it's the same month as Abu Dhabi, and I just can't be away 3 weeks of the month, you know? I had declined that, but I presumably could reactivate that funding to go to Brussels and attend that meeting if they could. I'm trying to be polite. If they could figure out what day they want to have it on. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie. I think you mentioned many things. With regard to the GDPR meeting, my understanding is with data protection authorities in Brussels. I think probably nobody knows what's going on and discovered that in the last 2 days. I suspect that maybe ICANN organization, quote unquote, they had this kind of discussion, and at late stage they thought, okay, we should include the other part of the community to kind of to avoid, you know, ranting and complaints. But unfortunately, it seems kind of pattern in ICANN that the same mistake happened again over again. And I'm just wondering, since we have this GDPR task force, how you were not informed about this, and how is going on there? So it's kind of strange situation here that there are several things in parallel, what it's about the same issue. Right, and I see it's a long queue here. Stephen, I'm not sure if it's old or new hand, but we'll go with Nick, Kathy, Aiden, and then go back to you later. Yes, Nick, please go ahead.
Hi there. I will help Stephanie out on the privacy proxy stuff. As the person who in a previous life was representing the GAC on the implementation review team to sort out some of the outstanding problems, we sorted everything, pretty much everything out, and I think it was making some pretty good progress and in a good constructive manner. The outstanding issue that the GAC was having with the with other sections of the review team was around time frame for responding to government requests, reviewing those requests and sending some kind of a response. So that was the outstanding issue. I don't think it's probably like a major headache that we need to worry about here, but it was just literally an impasse between I think mostly the registrars or those types of folks and the law enforcement folks, whereby there's law enforcement feel that they'll need to be need to obtain information within a certain time frame in certain circumstances, and that's on the registrar side, that's kind of balanced against their ability to provide such a service. Obviously, reviewing requests over a weekend or bank holiday incurs costs, and so there's a bit of an impasse there. But I think largely that whole thing has moved forward fairly well. So that's that. And that's all I got.
Thanks, Nick. Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the timing. This is Kathy, of course, and also to share something. So this is insane that this is happening in less than 2 weeks and there's no date. It's not fair. It's absolutely not fair to parents, to grandparents. And, you know, I can't just conduct a gender survey, and I don't know how many people on the call filled it out. But when I filled it out, I'm like, this has nothing to do – I mean, gender is an issue. But I said a lot of it has to do with parents and grandparents, and we need a long lead time before we leave for things because we can't just pick up at the drop of a hat. And if they want people participating when their kids are younger or their grandchildren are younger, you can't do this. Is this worth even filing, you know, a complaint with the ombudsman? You can't do it like this, or a lot of key people drop out. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. And I think it's impacting many people, and all this, the way how meetings are organized, and then either so many meetings, it's definitely kind of exclusive and doesn't help to get more participation, in particular from the non-commercial side. So, yes, Aiden, please go ahead.
Thank you. That repeat. Hi everyone, this is Aaron Berlin. I just wanted to provide a very brief update on the GDPR internal task force, as Rafiq just asked for one. I am one of our three representatives on it, but I can tell you very little about what is happening there. There is age information asymmetry. Some stakeholders are kept very well informed. Other people, like myself, can conveniently receive no updates whatsoever. We do not use a proper archived mailing list, so we are dependent upon making sure that we are CC'd into the emails. The student even email, I count how many people are CC'd in. Sometimes 25 people are CC'd in, sometimes 18 people are CC'd in, sometimes 28 people are CC'd in. So I understand who gets the communications and who doesn't, but I know that I do not receive all the communications. And I think that is by design, I have to say. I noticed earlier this week that there was a new blog post up on the ICANN website about GDPR, so I immediately emailed Teresa Swinehart and Diana Middleton, who is, I believe, our contact for the internal task force, just to check in, and I tried to be diplomatic as I could just to say that there was some new information in that blog post that had not been communicated to us. So what is happening with the task force? Have we been disbanded? Do we still exist? What is happening there? She did reply the next day. She did not answer a single question that I had. She did begin the email by saying, "Hi, Aidan." She sort of acknowledged that I had sent one, but again, did not answer a single question that I had. I since followed up, have not heard back. So that's where this internal task force is. We have not been told, or at least I was not told, about this GDPR meeting in 2 weeks' time by any ICANN staffers. It was only that someone from a different stakeholder group mentioned it to me. I don't know what's happening. I don't think it is a very well-run internal task force. I don't think it is very transparent, and I don't think it's very particularly accountable. So I think there are many issues here. But it is what it is. Thanks, Rafiq.
Okay, thank you, Aidan. And I see a lot of problem here. So I'm thinking if how we should, as a stakeholder group, respond to this. I mean, you have you guys as representative, but if you are kind of not receiving updates or informants, that's big issue. Have to escalate here, and probably sending letters to Joran and also to Steve Crocker. I think it's not anymore kind of just issue of sending emails, but we have to escalate because it raises a lot of question about how this task force is working and if they are really inclusive. And so the whole process really seems dysfunctional, not transparent, and I'm not sure what the ICANN as organization again is trying to achieve by this way. They want to deal with the DBA alone without having to take all the stakeholders group involved. So if people support this, we can work on a kind of letter. I mean, it will be sent by email, but letter that can be, let's say, archived to Joran and ask him for clarification about all those issues. So if people want to volunteer for this. And yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Sorry, that was an old hand.
So I've just made this suggestion about, in general, about the internal task force. But since we are talking about the meeting in process and we had the discussion and who we should appoint from our side to be representative there, while there was kind of, they are promising there will be remote participation, but that's not guaranteed. They also said that people who can make it, they can attend. I mean, it will be an open or public meeting, so we should encourage for those who can make it to attend. Also, we need to push for remote participation, but we still need to have an idea who should be kind of an official representative from NCNG, and still we have to figure out how deal with that with the other side, since they are talking about one represented by house, it means a non-contracted house here. So. Tapani, please go ahead.
Simply say that this is impossible, we can't do that, or try to start talking with them and finding some kind of solution. Maybe just toss a coin who gets the first slot or whatever. But if they really give only one supported position for an NCPH, we have to start talking with the CSG now or give up and say that this is impossible. And I'm not sure what would be the best, but my gut feeling at the moment is that let's call that this can't be done. Come on, you can't be serious, and protest as hard as we can. But alternatively, we can try to start talking with the CSG. We might talk to them in any case, because I think they feel exactly the same at this point, but I don't know that. I guess that's my point at this point.
Thanks, Stefan. I think there are several maybe aspects on this. So, James, I mean, the GNSO chair is talking about pushing to have a four representative, which means one by stakeholder group. So in such case, we can get someone to have travel support and go. So we should think about the name to send. If it's not the case, we have to deal with the CSG. I mean, it's clear we cannot give up a seat, so we have kind of maybe to make a clear stance, because we have a totally, totally different point of view on that matter. So we have to push. I think we can raise this at least at the council level and to push for having four seats. But regardless of that, at least from our side, we should have in mind one representative that we can send. And so when we clarify those clarify the situation, we can suggest the name quickly. So we should not leave that open till we figure out how many slots will be available. So that's my kind of thinking. So can we agree on list of name at least? And I mean, to those who can really be sure that they can make it for the first week of October, whatever it means in this context. Yes, Stephanie.
So I propose that we pick Stephanie as our first choice, assuming she is willing and able to go. But then we'll have to, if we end up we can't guarantee that the negotiation will be hard, we should basically appoint someone to talk with the CSG, or some one or two people. Maybe you want to do it, or maybe we can do it together or whatever, but let's anyway make a list of names, and I'm formally proposing Stephanie as the first choice at this point.
I guess we can make it. Yeah, both of us, we can discuss with NCPH and start that as soon as possible this week. On other side, so we have Stephanie as, let's say, official representative, but we can encourage other NCSG members who can make it to the meeting to attend. So if we have also other names, they can self-support. I mean, support themselves to go. It's easy for them to go to present. That will be really helpful, since it should be in a public meeting. So I saw that Stefania, also Aiden, you can make it. So anyone else who can make it by him or herself? Okay, yes, Stefania.
I'm not sure, because we still don't know the dates exactly. So if it's the beginning of the week, I could make it, but if it's the end of the week, I can't, for example. And I'm sure there are others of that position. But in any case, Stefania is making it on her own expense because it's cheap. But we need to have a negotiating position with the CSG in case it turns out that NCPH only gets one. And what could that be? Well, how can we negotiate with them when there is no sensible way of deciding it? Do we have some bargaining position? Haggle for them about some future favors or offer requests or something? Any ideas?
To be honest, no idea for now. I think the problem when we are talking about CSG is not just one group, but three groups, and they cannot even agree among themselves. So I think first step, maybe our first run to James is really to push for four seat, but with regard to one representative for NCPH, just kind of, I don't see any working solution, or bargaining. I mean, because here what we can bargain, I mean, what we can get as in such situation, what we can get as alternative, I don't see any. So there, I don't see any win-win solution in such case. Yes, Stepan.
Get a promise for some our turn next time or their turn next time or something like that. And we will have discussions with the NCPH in the in the CSG, in the chair selection and vice chair selection issue, for example. So you might think that kind of the terms. But in general, discuss about how we're going to do this. Let's toss a coin now and agree that they let us have next one or the loser gets next one or something like that if we want to try to find a compromise solution. Because, well, what else are we going to do? If we are forced in a situation, either we or CSG gets it, how do we decide? We have to decide it one way or the other. So it would be better to have some kind of idea that can we agree on that we toss a coin in this kind of situation and then alternate or something. Although it's difficult to alternate when it's unknown when this can happen, but still. I think it would be useful to at least try to talk with them. Maybe they have ideas. Rather than, well, yeah, obviously, there is no win-win situation, as you say. That's clear enough. But some solutions may be worse than others. And perhaps we should, you know, let's now decide that who will talk with them, maybe. Maybe you and I, let's contact the CSG and ask what they like. If you don't want to do it alone, I'm happy with that as well. Or if you prefer to leave it to me, I can try, but I think we having to do it together would be better. Anyway, that's just some thoughts.
Thanks, Stefani. Anyway, I think we have to start discussing with CSG side and try to see their initial reaction, and from there we can figure out how we can move on. So, okay, so let's reach them as first step, and for those on the council, we can also have the discussion there about increasing the representation and push for the GNSO leadership to press for that. And so, okay, back to the GDPR task force, and still have that, as I suggested, that we have an official communication with Iran to ask about that situation and clarification, no matter how, about what's going on in terms of information. So we are getting several kind of action here to follow up after this call. Okay, so guys, we have several tasks at the policy committee to follow up, so I really count on you to act quickly and to respond quickly to that. So. Maybe also we can extend the, I mean, ask in CAG list if there is any thought on this matter, to see if those who are familiar with GDPR and who can make it to Brussels by themselves, and see if there is any way to also maybe other way to support that. So. Okay. Any other comment on this question? Okay, seeing none. So, moving to already, we are already in the any other business. I put like last time planning for Abu Dhabi meeting, but at this level, I think we still don't have the blog schedule. While we have the schedule for the GNSO, and we will try to share that as soon as possible. So, but in terms of planning, any other suggestion or any update about the meetings we will have on Abu Dhabi from NCAG. I see no comment here or question. maybe I sense that people are already starting to leave, and it was already a long call, over 90 minutes. So if there is no question or further comment, I would like to adjourn the call for today. So waiting. Okay. So I see that no comment. And okay, let's end the call for today. Thanks everyone for attending. And we got several actions to follow up. So see you soon and bye-bye.
Lines. Thank you for your time today.